Welcome beyond the Reiki Gateway. I'm your host, Andrea Kennedy. Like countless others, Reiki found me when I wasn't even looking, and then it ignited a whole new world of questions. This podcast explores topics of interest for the spiritually curious. Join me for discussions and special guests on subjects such as past lives, crystal healing, spiritual awakening, ascension, energy healing, and more, all to assist and inspire you along your unique soul's journey. Welcome to Beyond the Reiki Gateway. I'm your host, Andrea Kennedy, and I want to offer a huge welcome today to Pam Allen LeBlanc, who is a scientist, entrepreneur, international speaker, and author of the Reiki Business Book. She's also a licensed Reiki Master Teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training and a co-author of the ICRT Animal Reiki course. She offers classes both in person and online. She's committed to teaching and coaching Reiki teachers so they too can share Reiki with the world. This episode is sponsored by Mainstream Reiki, offering live and online Reiki classes and a membership community to help Reiki practitioners succeed and grow in their practice. Find out more at mainstreamreiki.com. Welcome to the show, Pam. I'm so delighted to have you here with us.
Thank you, Andrea. I'm so excited to be here.
You know, it's so funny because even in that intro, there's so many things that I could say about you that I didn't, you know, that I already do know. But one of the huge reasons I wanted to have you on is this new endeavor that you have really launched yourself into. And it's politics, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You're in Canada. And so politics is a little bit different for me. I'm in the U.S. You know, a lot of our listeners are here and in Canada and in other parts of the world. Wow. So I think my first question is, you've had a very colorful past, as we mentioned. You've really been very mainstream. And then went into Reiki and now politics. And so, whoa, I find this really exciting. And I wonder, what is the office that you're running for? When is the election, I guess, if you could just start with the basics. And then I want to get into how did this even come about? Because I think this is going to be a lot of things for me and also our listeners. I think it's so super exciting.
Oh, thank you, Andrea. I'll be honest, it's not something I really aspired to, but it is something that I was guided to, spiritually guided to. Reiki, which I practice Reiki, and it provides spiritual guidance, and I receive very clear spiritual guidance. I'll tell you about it, to run for political office. And it was also very clear how I was to run. So I am running for the Green Party. I'm the official candidate for the Fredericton York region of New Brunswick. And so that would be, for to compare it to US politics, that would be like your state representative. So I'm running to be a state representative for the Green Party. It's not something I really intended to do or wanted to do, but I was actually horseback riding with some of my students, about 8 or 9 of my students, through what used to be the most beautiful woodland. And it had just been devastatingly clear cut. And when I saw the looks on the children's faces, I got very frustrated and I kind of felt a little bit helpless. Like they just looked like they had lost all hope. This is at a time when science is telling us to plant trees. And in my province, we threw out the sustainability guidelines in 2018, but we actually threw them out several years before that as well. So we just keep throwing them out. And thousands of acres have been clear cut by a few large companies. And the children were so hurt, so devastated. I just kind of said to myself in anger, actually, somebody has got to do something about this. And Andrea, I know you practice Reiki like I do, so Reiki sometimes comes in with very clear messages. I heard a very distinct message, if not you, then who? And I realized, oh, good heavens, I'm being called to run for politics. This was back in 2020. Our premier had just called a snap election around COVID. He had just called it. I just sort of said to myself and to Reiki, oh, good Lord, do I have to do it right now? And I heard, no, no, in the election in 2024. So technically, our election is scheduled for October 14th, I believe it is, of 2024. But unlike the elections in the US, we used to not have fixed election dates in Canada, in my province. And now that we do have fixed election dates, there are a few ways to circumvent those. And recently, our premier put us all into a panic and cost the province over $1 million because he decided to circumvent and call an early election, a snap election, like he had done in 2020. It's been a little bit nerve-wracking, I said to my party leader. And I should just mention, I know that the Green Party in a lot of spots hasn't really gained a lot of traction yet. But here in my corner of the world, in Atlantic Canada, the Green Party was actually the official opposition in a neighboring province. And we have three Green Party MLAs that do sit in the legislature, which is like in the state capital or the provincial capital. So the party is really poised to expand. So there's actually a very real chance that I could win this and be in it. But whether I win or lose, it's an adventure. It's exciting. I'm learning a lot.
I'll bet you are. How many parties do you have in the election, official parties?
There are four, but there really are three that are viable. We sometimes have an NDP or New Democratic Party, and in some provinces, they're in Manitoba, the NDP party just went in. They're sort of more aligned with more socialist principles. We have a Conservative Party that is aligned with more conservative principles, the Liberal Party that is a bit more humanitarian. And the Green Party is interesting because it's obviously people would understand that the Green Party's priorities are around the environment, but it's also around the people. The people are a big part of that and things like affordability, but yet they're also a party that's very fiscally responsible. So it's this really interesting mix. And I feel that it's the party that the youth and the young people are asking for. I think that they're kind of tired of just the same two parties going back and forth. I think they want a real change. So this is the party that certainly the young people seem to gravitate to.
Yeah. Now, when you were on horseback with that group, what age range were they?
You know, there were a few adults in the group, but my youngest daughter was there. She was probably around 13 or 14 at the time. The youngest was about 10. I had some 15, 16, 17-year-olds. And honestly, when they saw the devastation and, you know, what adults are doing to the earth right now, you could feel the despair. They lost all hope for the future. It broke my heart. I didn't want to see that for them. And my daughter is actually one of my two campaign managers, my oldest daughter. My youngest daughter helps out when she can. And my son too, but he doesn't live close by. So it's a little, he just sends money.
Well, that's needed for campaigning.
It is needed. It is needed. Fundraising is real, and it's a very big part of what I need to do right now. But my oldest daughter told me, you know, Mom, you keep saying that you have faith for the future, that the young people will figure this mess out with the environment, but I don't feel like it's responsible to have children right now. And you realize what a heavy load that you're putting on us to figure this out. Why don't the people of your generation do something? And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. And my husband had asked the children back when they were much younger. So I think they were 10, 12, and 14. And he said, guys, what we do when we vote affects your future. So why don't you do the research and tell us how you want us to vote? And he said, you got to do the research. You got to look at the different platforms and you got to tell us why. Now, to be fair, they did mix up the federal and provincial platforms, but there's a lot of adults that do that too. So I don't hold that against them. But they did look at the platforms of the three major parties at the time. Actually, I think we had a little bit of NDP presence then, which we don't now. So maybe there were four parties. Oh, and there was a fifth party back then, but that's also gone by the wayside. But they looked at these parties and they came back and said, guys, we need you to vote green. That's the only hope that we see for the future.
Wow. I love that as parents that you sat down and had that conversation because, you know, just like what you said a moment ago, there was this sort of divide about the older generation and the younger generation in that ask, right? About why don't you do something? And, you know, I think it is fascinating to me because, you know, I've had the same thoughts about, oh, the younger people, it's on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are really going to turn this around. But I have to say, I've had these other realizations that, you know, just because there's an older generation and maybe on a whole, we've lost some credibility because of our mishandling and in our decisions and things like this. And quite frankly, not listening.
Yes.
To reason in a lot of cases. The realization that I have had is there are people who are older who are the bridges between the generations because it can't just be a divide. It isn't like we throw up our hands and, oh, well.
You guys figure it out.
Yeah. It's just not helpful. It's not helpful at all. But in all fairness, you know, I've heard younger people say things similar about like, just get out of the way, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, well, you know, that's not really mature either because we have to have help in both directions, I feel like, because us older people know how things have worked. You know, we have a certain amount of education. And also, isn't it helpful knowing what has been tried and what hasn't worked and why perhaps things haven't worked? We've walked in those shoes just as they are walking in their shoes to bring that together. And that's kind of how I see, from my perspective, this road you're traveling is a liaison between the old ways, the old how things have been, and then this younger generation. Because everything about our times right now is not about isolation or going it alone. It's about unity. It's about coming together.
Yeah.
And when I heard about you running, I had to do a double take and I thought, wait, what? What? And then I got really excited because I thought, now, wait a second. What will that mean? As far as it's been a drive of mine, of course, for Reiki to go mainstream. Well,
yes,
Reiki in the, we would call it state house, but Reiki in the capital, right?
Yeah.
And having someone with that experience and that guidance and that awareness, what are the possibilities? What are you really excited about as we imagine this?
Oh, gosh, I'm excited about so many things. You know, first of all, I'm an introvert, so I didn't think I was going to like this. And it turns out I've always been very committed to the land. You know, we have over 100 acres of property here in Durham Bridge. We've been here since 1999. And horses, and very committed to the animals and to nature. But animal Reiki kind of opened me up to the fact that I also am very committed to the people. I realize that the people are part of nature. They're part of all of it. And Reiki opened me to the fact that I'm also very committed to the people. And so as I travel around the riding and get to visit with people and, you know, hear about their challenges and just sort of look at ways that we can help them through the party, through just sort of understanding how it all works. And I think you really hit on something like that bridge of I used to work for the provincial government. I worked there for 12 years. The beginning of my career was with them. So I'm very familiar with how it all works. And so I knew that I've always identified more with the younger people and that generation, probably more so than my own with regards to my environmental leanings and things of that nature. But I'm really excited. You know, at first I wasn't sure, how do I do this? I've been very clear from the start. I'm going to continue teaching Reiki. Teaching Reiki, helping people like that, that grounds me. That's how I give back to myself because I love it so much. And so I had to be clear with the party leader, like, I'm going to do this, but I still need to run my businesses. Are you okay with that? And he said he was. And then I spoke with William Rand and said, look, I'm guided to do this. Are you okay with that? And he said, yes, he supported me completely. And then I kind of thought, well, how do I do this? I've gotten, the whole time I've been working spiritually and with Reiki and so on, Andrea, I've become so comfortable being my authentic self. And I thought, like, how am I going to step in as a Reiki practitioner, an animal communicator? I'm an animal communicator. I teach animal communicating. Like, how do I step in now as a politician? And I've heard very clearly, like, you continue to be that. And so I had to tell my strategist on my campaign team, I said, you should know that I'm doing these charity events for the SPCA where I'm going to get up and do animal communication and animal Reiki in front of hundreds of people to raise money for them. And she just looked at me and said, why? You know, because I understood that this could be potentially a bit of a hurdle for her and for our messaging. And I just said, because that's who I am. I'm not going to tiptoe around it. Who I am is a person who hears the animals and does Reiki and healer. And I think that it's time to bring these skills and these abilities a bit more mainstream. And the people who don't like me won't like me no matter what anyway. So I'm just going to be myself. So the thing I think I'm excited about is being at the table so that you can stand up for things that are really not helpful for New Brunswickers, for the people in my riding. I think I'm excited to just be who I am and maybe bring some of these skills and abilities and talents more mainstream. I said, it's funny, I'm on the podcast with Mainstream Reiki, and that's what I'm all about lately, is bringing everything more mainstream. Everything that I'm doing, even the charity events, is bringing this to be more mainstream for all of us. So I'm excited about that part of it. And then I wondered how to be. And I was recently at a conference with Rebecca Campbell and Anita Morjani and John Holland. And I asked them, like, look, I'm kind of terrified about this, to do this. And how can I be authentically me and still do this? The advice that I received from them, Rebecca Campbell said, you don't have to say anything, just be who you are. That will create the change. And so I guess I'm really excited to just help create the change that I feel people are asking for and calling for. And I am enjoying following this guidance. So I don't even know if I answered your question, Andrea, but
I think you did, really, because in a way, I think the excitement is the possibilities.
Yes, that's it.
And we don't know what that is. So that's why I think it's a hard question to answer, because it's all about the possibilities that we really don't know what those are. I couldn't agree more, though, with that advice about the being, just being yourself, and that's enough, because I think people attuned to energy, you know, aware and, you know, Reiki people and all of that. That's kind of what I tell my students is, you know, don't worry about convincing people. Don't worry about all of that. It isn't about convincing people that Reiki is anything. Just have Reiki, live your life, be Reiki, be in the energy. And what happens is your vibration changes. And then everything that you do is also touched by that vibration of where you are. And so that speaks for itself energetically. You're speaking, you're communicating, you're interacting on a whole nother level that is not through speech. It's not through talking. And your actions, they're all imbued with that presence, with that energy. I think that is the ultimate way to communicate, because there are no barriers, there are no dialects, there's no nothing. It's just a very pure way of communicating. And people may not even be aware, but don't we resonate all the time or not resonate? And like you said, yeah, people are going to like me or they're not, you know, regardless. In a large way, I think that's about the energy. And I think we can all relate to that, right? You walk into a room and you feel like, whoa, what's going on in here, right? Or
yeah, these are my people or these aren't my people.
Right, right. And that's just energy. But everybody kind of has that sense, you know, as long as they're kind of aware to some degree. And I think it's like that with people too. You meet somebody or you see somebody on television or, you know, something like that. And you just think, oh, I'm drawn to them. I like them. What is that about them? You know, people sometimes just have a charisma or a magic about them. And then sometimes they don't. And again, that's energy. Anyway, long-winded, but it's like, I love the advice that they gave you. You don't have to do anything. Just be. I think we would agree, Pam, if it's meant to be, right? If it's meant to be that you win the election, you will. And that's all there is to it, you know? But I think regardless, you're paving a way. You're on a leading edge here of, you know, we did that episode a long time ago. You were actually on the podcast in a montage episode that we did, right? And it was all about Reiki courage. Well, imagine that. Here you are, right? How about that? Talking about coming full circle. You have a whole new tale to tell.
Yeah. Reiki always keeps leading me to something that I'm terrified to do, actually. And as I, you know, like writing a book and creating a course and all of the things that Reiki keeps guiding me to do, even teaching. I didn't intend to teach initially. I think I mentioned that on the Courage episode. But you learn that the guidance is always helpful. And so you step into it. And whether I win or lose, like, I'm really ambivalent. I mean, obviously, you'd kind of like to win. But if you lose, I look at it as, okay, well, not really sure why Reiki wants me to do this. And I did ask, I said, you know, in the guidance, I said, what is this about? Like, because I don't really know. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do yet. It's the possibilities, like you said. I do realize that we're a small province and that it would be very feasible for us to flip to green. And if we did, that might then create some momentum that then moves across North America. But I said to the energy, like, can you just give me a little bit of a clue? I don't need to know win or lose or any of that. Like, we'll do what we can do. We'll do our very best. But what is this about? Why am I being asked to do this? And I very clearly heard the words world peace. And Andrea, you and I follow a system of Reiki where a specific energy of world peace came in 2022 in response to the war in the Ukraine. So yeah, I guess it's about that, but I don't really know all the answers yet. It won't surprise me though, if more of us start getting called to do something like this. So thank you for letting me talk about this so that maybe it would encourage people.
Oh yeah. You're so welcome. I mean, it's just a blessing really to have you and that we can talk about these things, isn't it? I mean, I think that's an important thing to even say, that we can broadcast this to whoever wants to listen. We can talk freely about it. And I think it's a wonderful service that we not only can just share a conversation about this, but just be open about it and honest. Where else do we have that in politics? I mean,
Well, and I always tell people politically that, you know, it doesn't matter to me what party you vote for. Just vote. Like, let your voice be heard. There are servicemen who've lost their lives to give you that right and to let your voice be heard. So please let your voice be heard. But I usually put with that, unless you're in my riding, and then I want you to vote for me.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Vote however you're guided. But if you're in my riding, please vote for me.
If I'm on the ballot, that's your choice. And, you know, you've used that word, riding. That is new to me. And so probably to some of our listeners. So can you just give us a quick vocabulary lesson there?
Oh, yes, I'll try. Like, so we have legislature, which would be like your state. When people go to the state capitol, it's the capitol, isn't it? So we call that the legislature. And riding is just the region. It's really a very old term. I don't even know if it's accurate anymore. They call it my regional district association. So it's basically my district.
Right.
But for some of us who, I was raised with politicians in my family and political talk at the kitchen table all along. And I also feel that maybe, you know, my background as a scientist, as with my MBA, as an international speaker and as an author, hopefully, you know, that helps. Not that Reiki needs legitimacy, but in certain circles, it might.
Yeah. Now, it's funny. When you were saying your definition there, I was like, oh, I think that's a district. And then you use that same exact word. Yeah. So that's great. Yeah. That's a huge help. Huge help. Hello, it's Andrea. And in addition to being your host here at the podcast, I'm the founder of Mainstream Reiki, where bringing Reiki further into the mainstream is my mission. I offer quality Reiki classes of all levels to students attending live from around the world. And I've built a membership community as well to help Reiki people connect with each other through discussions, events, and Reiki practice. So if you're considering learning Reiki, or you already have, I invite you to visit mainstreamreiki.com to discover your next step in your Reiki journey. Thank you. And now, back to the show. And it is funny, isn't it? Because this whole idea about the background, your background and all of that, isn't it amazing when you look back at the different areas of interest that you've had, different places now? Because you said you worked with the government all those years ago, and now you've revealed to us that you've had family members in politics. And so can you explain a little bit about that? Because I'm just seeing these breadcrumbs from your past. And then today, in hindsight, it has to look like things were all not accidental, right?
In hindsight, it really does. Yeah, you're right. The trail of breadcrumbs is pretty clear. Now, granted, I say, my father is very strong with a different party. He doesn't like my party. I'm not sure. I'm glad that he's not in my district because I don't think he would vote for me. My mom will. I know my mom will. And my siblings would. Not 100% sure about my dad. He's pretty dyed in the wool. But yeah, I've had uncles and cousins and a grandfather. And my father was in municipal politics. He was our deputy mayor when I was growing up. So I got to really observe politics and the political life. And that's one reason, you know, at one point I just assumed I would probably go into it. And then my 12 years with government made me say, never, I'm not doing that. Like, you know, back then there wasn't a Green Party. The Green Party for me aligns more with my principles. And at that time, there really wasn't a party that aligned with my principles. But yeah, I look back and I've been an environmentalist since I can remember in 1991, sending letters to the Department of Environment asking for a better recycle program because our recycling program was just abysmal when I had understood, you know, what my roommates in college, what they had in their communities and in their provinces. I came back and started advocating for that. I didn't get anywhere with it, but I tried. And I can remember when the children were little, taking them to peaceful protests against shale gas development in my community, because I could just see that that wasn't going to be an environmentally sensible way to go forward for us. And yeah, the breadcrumbs really and have led to this. And I even think Reiki, like our premier, had us on tenterhooks for a little over a month, about 5 or 6 weeks, when he was considering calling a snap election. It was very hard on the nerves and hard on the nerves of my team, my campaign team. I've got a really great team. Some of the team members said, "Will you do a Reiki meditation for us to help us with that?" I said, "Absolutely." Not all of them. And I'm not going to force it on anybody, obviously. But a few of them were asking. And I said, "Yes, absolutely. Let's get together before our meeting and we'll try to deal with some of the stress of this." But I'm so grateful that I had Reiki to deal with the stress. And I loved a little while ago how you talked about the language and the fact that the body, you know, the body language, what we say is only 10% of what we communicate to people, or less than 10% even. And so I think, oh, the fact that I'm an animal communicator and have gotten really good at reading body language and reading under the surface of what's being said. And you're absolutely right. I think all of these skills are coming together in a way that they're going to be very positive.
Yeah. Even that time that you worked for the government and you said, "I'd never do this," that is such a wonderful education because you saw all of that and it provides the context for you today. Now, one of the things I am really curious about, I'm going to get my popcorn or maybe not, because I don't know what it's like in Canada, but here in the States, oh my gosh, the ads on television are crazy and they're so negative, so often filled with lies. I mean, I just don't even know how they get away with it, but they do. What is it like in Canada? I mean, as far as the climate and the battle, if there is one.
There definitely is one, a battle. And I'll be honest, confrontation isn't something that I'm incredibly comfortable with, but I think I'm just going to trust Reiki to see me through it. It's funny, I just had a conversation with the provincial party and my own strategist, and my strategist is actually going to sit on some committees provincially so that she can help set some of the provincial strategy for the upcoming election, which will either be next March and April or next fall when it's supposed to be. The conversations that we've been having is how to stay positive, because the two parties that have typically been in power are constantly sniping at each other. And I am going to have a hard time staying positive, even with all my, even with Reiki and my background. There are some things that are just morally wrong that are happening. And so I am going to need to point those out. But I hope what I think we would like to use as our strategy is to do our best to point them out in a way that isn't sniping, that's very factual. Because it does happen here too. I was just listening to one of our federal leaders, just blatant lies, you know, talking about how the prime minister had built this mansion and that mansion and another mansion. And I'm like, I know for a fact that's not true. How can he? It made me really kind of disgusted with him. Now, some people, maybe you think it is true, and then they would be disgusted with the other leader. But I know how this all works, and I know that it's not true. And so why would he do that? And how would he do that? I don't know. I guess it's been proven to win. I think the tide is turning though, Andrea. And I think people are ready for candidates that are just ready to roll up their sleeves and work hard and point out where work needs to be done, but not in a mean-spirited or dishonest way. In our country, that was proven in Manitoba recently. One party took a very negative stance and just brought up all kinds of things that were, you know, really in alignment with what you've just described. And that's a strategy. That's one way of doing things. It's just not a way I'm comfortable with. And I don't believe my other party members are either. So one party really took that approach. The other party took a completely different approach. It was the other party that won overwhelmingly.
Mm.
So I think that's telling me that I think people are fed up with that. And I think they're looking for a better way.
Yeah, I hope so. At least here in the States, we're just still under so much head scratching. We have a large segment of the population here that believes things that the other people are like, what? It's almost like alternate realities here. It's hard, I think, for some people to not let it get too personal.
Understandably. I think that that strategy, though, that you're talking about, the sort of the nastiness and not always truthful, and definitely, even if they are truthful, misleading. I think that the strategy is to divide.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think it's to divide and conquer. But you know what? I really think that's an old way of doing things. It makes me sad. Like for me personally, I work with a lot of people from the US as an example. I work with people from all over, but I have a lot of lovely American clients. And some of them shared with me that, you know, sometimes their political preference was making them at odds with their family members, like even their immediate family. And like they can't speak to their sister or their brother-in-law or their daughter or whomever because they just have such opposing views. And I'm thinking that's not the role of politics. It's not meant to divide families and make it so that people can't talk to each other. Our role is to unify and to work within that. And I've very clearly heard quite a few members of my own party. We recently had six of the district representatives from around my region, come together for an event, you know, where we each introduced ourselves to the people that were there. We got to know each other, got to know the people who were interested and got a chance to talk with them. One of my colleagues, Tim Thompson, he was standing up for the LGBTQ community because that actually was one of the reasons we almost went to snap election here was that our premier was reducing the rights of school children to express themselves in their authenticity. And he was talking about the importance of us Greens and us as a party being a unifying force rather than divisive and a dividing force. So I really think that's where we're going.
I totally agree. Speaking on the more spiritual side of things, right? We talk a lot in the spiritual community about ascending and about, you know, this new earth and a raising of vibration and all of that. A lot of that, when we look at the youth, you know, the younger generation, I don't know what your perspective is, but when I kind of go there, there is a lightness to them coming in.
I agree.
They're just not as burdened with a residue, is almost the word that comes to mind, that the previous generations were. There just seems to be more of a, for lack of a better word, lightness to them. The divisions, like you said, that's like an old paradigm. It's an old way to do it, and it's based in fear.
Yes, it's not based in love.
That's correct. And peace. So, you know, you had brought up the world peace component in all of this. Recently, there's the war now in the Middle East with Israel and in Gaza. And I heard something the other day. It was just on a news program and there were some protests. And one of the people protesting said something and it really resonated with me. And they said, because it's exactly, I think, what I totally agree with. They said, in this day and age, we need to solve these problems with our words. Nobody should be killed and nobody should be killing each other in order to solve these things. In this time, in our history that has no place anymore. And I think so many people feel that way, don't you?
I think the majority of people feel that way. My hope, though, is that they'll stand up and let their voices be heard, you know, by voting or whatever. Like, I feel this way. I don't like how you're doing things. I want this to change. I agree with you completely. If you look at the Human Rights and Freedoms Act, and I'm very drawn to the work of Eleanor Roosevelt and Franklin Roosevelt. We have a summer home on the same island where they have had a summer home, where Franklin Roosevelt had a summer home growing up and where Eleanor made that her home as well. You know, she was one of the key people who wrote the Human Rights and Freedoms Act. And just the other day, I decided, you know, I'm going to read this. It's time that I read it. And, you know, it is. No one has a right to harm you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right there. It's been there for quite a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I love that sentiment, Andrea. I resonate with that as well. We've outgrown that. This is not an appropriate response to disagreements. This is no better than throwing temper tantrums when you don't get your own way. And we should have outgrown that by now.
Yeah. I remember I felt that way when Russia invaded Ukraine. I felt the same way, you know, and then world peace came in the energy, really in response to that is, you know, my feeling, but this collective consciousness outcry. But yeah, we're past that. I guess there are some people out there, they need to get up to speed. It's like, yeah, we're past exactly. That, people.
That was the old way of doing things. Now we use our words. Yeah. How many times have you heard people say that to their children? Use your words.
Yeah. We don't lash out. I love that. When you said temper tantrum, I was like, yes, that's so like it. It's just a devolvement, you know, to those primal instincts of, you know, just lashing out or something. But yeah, we're so far beyond that now. We don't have to do things that way. Wow. And so do you run ads on television? I mean, are people seeing you in political ads on their televisions in Canada?
Not yet. It's just to put this into perspective. And I do like this about Canadian politics. It's nowhere near the money game that it is in the US. So there's probably, I don't think there's any way we would ever have enough money to run a television ad.
I wish it was like that here.
So the maximum that I am allowed to spend on my campaign is $52,000. Right now, I actually only have about 12,000 in the bank. So I do need to do some major fundraising to try to bridge that gap. And it's weird, actually. People can donate to me from anywhere and get a tax receipt and stuff, no matter where they are in the world. So I've actually even approached some of my Reiki community and been like, do you feel like you want to support this? That's the hardest part for me, is asking for money. But because that's the maximum we can spend, you know, there will be signs that will be up. There may be a newspaper ad, but I probably can't even afford a newspaper ad all by myself. So it will probably be with the five other candidates, the six of us that are in the same, you know, region. We'll probably do an ad for all six of us. And there might be some radio ads if there's enough funds. And there definitely will be a postcard. Our district is small enough. It's still pretty big, but it's a rural district. And it's small enough that our intention, we have to wait now until after Christmas, because nobody wants to see us in December. But after Christmas, even before the election is called, it's our intention to try to get to every door and knock on their door and ask what's important to you, so that we can try to find out what's important to the people in our riding. And it's our intention to try to get out to as many events as possible and talk to as many people as we can. So it's maybe a little bit more grassroots. I won't say we'll never have an ad, but our budgets are very much very different. And the most anybody can contribute to a campaign here is $3,000. Including myself. Like, I'm not allowed to put more than $3,000 into my own campaign each year. So I could put 3,000 this year and 3,000 next year if I had it. I'm not sure I will. I've put a certain amount, you know, I have put a bit in as much as I can afford at the moment. We'll see if that increases before the end of the year and again next year. But yeah, so right now, no television ads.
Now, did you have to put your team together, your campaign team? So you picked them?
I did. And it's interesting. Well, I feel like Reiki helped me with that. I feel like it was very spiritually guided. It was interesting because when there was a threat of an election within 30 days, I was notified at the end of September. There was a rumor that the premier was planning to call an election October 2nd. I knew we were going in this direction, but I wasn't even officially the candidate yet at that point. I didn't have a campaign director. My daughter surprised me. She and I worked together a lot and we worked together really well. I have very high standards. I can be a little hard to work with, but she knows me and she works at a same standard. To both of our surprise, we find we work together really well. And so when I didn't have a campaign manager, the party said, "Do you think your daughter would be your campaign manager?" And I said, "No, she's not interested. She would never do that." And so she really shocked me a few weeks later when she said, "Mom, what would be involved with being your campaign manager?" And I told her, and I said, "Well, you just get to keep bossing me around the same way you do when we work together now." And she said, "All right, I think I might be in." And she floored me. But then also an old friend who's run a campaign before, but Kathleen is excellent. And she knows me, she knows marketing, she knows social media, she knows all the things, she knows her generation. She's in the process of doing a full-time MBA right now as well and running her own business also. She agreed to do it. I'm driving her a little bit crazy, but it is going well. And then a very seasoned campaign manager contacted me and said, "If you're looking for somebody, I want to be a part of a winning campaign and I think you can win." So I have two of them. And then I just started putting the other pieces together, my communication people, my strategist. One of my horseback riding students has agreed to be our volunteer coordinator. I'm still looking for somebody to help with fundraising and events management and canvassing. We weren't going to need quite as much of a team when it was a 30-day election because you just kind of did what you could. Now that it's a little bit longer game, I'll keep adding the pieces. But yeah, I'm sure I'm forgetting some people. I have a financial person, my EEO. I have a liaison with the province. So yeah, I've got a really strong team.
Wow. That's just amazing. And so thinking about where we started with this, so you've laid these breadcrumbs out unknowingly, and here totally. You find yourself with all of this courage, like it or not. I mean, we don't plan on things, right? As I reflect myself, it's like there are so many things in my life I never set out to do, but yeah. You know, there's a call, someone asks, and maybe it takes your brain in a certain direction and you're like, I don't even know how to do that. How would I even do that? You can't even wrap your head around it. But yet there's a need, there's a call, there's an opening. And from listening to you, it seems like that sort of happened. And you listened and you took the first step, right? What would you say about that to people? Or what would you like to share in these final minutes about your journey and how that might apply to just anybody who's listening?
Andrea, since we did our first podcast about courage, I've learned something new that I want to share. And that is that whenever I have been guided outside of my comfort zone, the initial thing that I feel is fear. And I think a lot of us we have that in common. You know, you initially, you feel a bit of fear, like, oh, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do that. As you were saying that, I was thinking, like, when you and I were guided to start our podcast, I had no idea how to work with technology. And I didn't even like the sound of my voice. And I was like, are you kidding me? Reiki, are you sure that's a good idea? But I've noticed that Reiki always guides me true, that everything it has guided me into, even when I didn't think it was in my wheel well, it was a learning experience and it moved into my wheel well. It moved into becoming something that I could do. So with that in mind, I decided to start dissecting the fear. And what I've noticed is that if you look at the fear, because fear and excitement feel a lot the same. And so when you get to that place that's outside of your comfort zone and you're initially feeling fear, there's a question I now ask, which is, wait, what percentage of this is fear and what percentage of this is excitement? And so when it led me to politics, I realized there were three feelings. There was fear, excitement, and resistance. I realized with politics, for instance, that you know what? Probably 40% of this is fear, but 40% of this is resistance and 20% of this is excitement. So I guess I'm just going to go into it because Reiki has never steered me wrong. And I'm going to dig into the excitement. And the very last thing I would love to leave people with is if you are being called to serve, because I say a prayer every day, which maybe other people are familiar with. Every day I ask for Reiki guidance. I place my hands in Gassho, which activates my Reiki energy. And then I say, please guide me and heal me so I may be of greater service to myself and to others. And I realize that I've been asking how to be of greater service. I was asking for this. And Reiki showed me like, hey, look at all those breadcrumbs you laid out. You could be of greater service if you stepped into politics. And I'm not sure that the listeners, that it's going to be politics or if it's going to be whatever you're being called to do, just dissect that and find out how much of it is excitement and start building on that.
Yeah, I think that's just so powerful because we can never know where we're going to go. It's really, I think, taking that leap. And I love that prayer. It's just such a great prayer or intention that anybody can resonate with and do. Doesn't have to be anchored in Reiki. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. You don't have to have Reiki for that.
People share that. A desire to be of service, a desire to leave the world as in a better way that they found it. At least I hope so. I sure do hope so. Pam, this has been wonderful to talk about this with you. I did that double take when I heard you announce that. Remember that double take, like, wait, what? Pam's doing what? And then I just got so excited. And I just can't wait to see what happens. But regardless, you are making waves out there. You're making waves, and those waves will reach shores that you have no idea. I wholeheartedly believe that what you're doing will help pave the way for other people to step forward in big ways. Or let's even say this, just bigger ways. Just bigger. Bigger than maybe they would have done. They don't have to be huge. They don't have to be big, but just bigger. We'll go to some really amazing places if some more people just step forward in bigger ways, don't you think?
I could not agree with you more, Andrea. Thank you so much for having me. This is just a delightful conversation. And yeah, I really hope if in some way this helps people step forward in bigger ways, then my work here is done. And your work here is done.
Yep, that's right. That is right. And so for our audience, we've been saying listeners, but we also have viewers, you know, on YouTube.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. So if they want to reach out, if they want to find out more about your Reiki world work or your political work, you know, and all of that kind of thing, how can they best do that, Pam?
Oh, well, for my Reiki world work, you can check out my website, reikifromthefarm.com. That's also the name of my podcast. And my book is on pamallenleblanc.love, just all one word. And if you'd like to find out more about my political journey, it's actually, the website is greenpartynb, all one word, .ca/Pam_ Allen, A-L-L-E-N underscore LeBlanc, L-E-B-L-A-N-C. I'd love to answer any questions or connect with any of you that this resonates with.
Oh, fantastic. And we'll put those links in the show notes and also in the description under the YouTube video to make it a little bit easier. You know, all those letters, it can be hard, but we'll make it easy for them. And of course, share these things out on social media and all of that to help make connections, because that's what it's all about, connecting people with what resonates with them so we can be a unifying force, bringing people together and helping people step out in bigger ways. A final thank you to you, Pam. It has been very delightful. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Andrea.
And from myself and the team here at Beyond the Reiki Gateway, we'd like to say thank you to our listeners for all of your support, including leaving great reviews, becoming BTRG insiders, and sharing this show with your friends and family. Drop us a line at info@beyondthereikigateway.com anytime. Tell us what's on your mind and take great care. Until next time. Thank you for listening. And you can check the show notes or visit the website beyondthereikigateway.com to find out more about the podcast and connect with me. Please keep in mind that views and opinions expressed in the show don't necessarily reflect those of the podcast or anyone affiliated with its production or advertising. This program is presented for your entertainment only, and all information provided is to be utilized at the listener's own discretion. I, along with the BTRG team, hope you enjoy the show as much as we enjoy making it for you. Wishing you highest blessings until we meet again beyond the Reiki Gateway.